And let's read from two passages of Scripture, Acts 16, verse 1 to 5, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, right? Ready? Let's declare the word of God aloud together. Ready? One, two, go. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, it will save both yourself and your hearers. So, Lord, we want to commit our minds to you right now. Let it be held captive, God, to you. And even as we hear your word, even as we hear the preaching of your word as well, Father, we pray that, God, we will hear your voice in a clear way. So, Holy Spirit, speak to us, God. And all God's children say, amen. Please be seated. We're going through a series called The Fully Devoted Followers of Christ. And we have already gone through, you know, two sermons. The first one on the devoted follower, the 20 to 35. That means people in a 20 to 35 age group, the young adults, you know, who are living in the season of their life where, you know, being a devoted follower of Christ is important for them to set themselves up for what's ahead in the future. And then we talk about the devoted follower, the senior citizen, 2 weekends ago, and I love that preaching because it reminds me too that I'm heading towards. Pastor Key told us that 60 is a point onwards, being a senior citizen. But he made all of us of 50 and above stood up as well to say that you're on the way there, okay? And so we learn about, you know, seasons of our life, the Gen X, the baby boomers, Gen Y, and then there's a Gen Z, then Gen IY, you know, because there are just so many different terms, the millennials, and then it was, you know, invented for us 2 weekends ago, this new term called the Gen G, if you still remember, right? The Generation Gray, okay? So we belong to I belong to the Gen G, okay? And since Dr. Mahathir came on board, he redesignated, you know, the age group. So I'm a young man now, okay? So it's amazing, right? So, you know, just a quick survey here. Now, this morning I'm talking about a devoted follower, next gen, right? A person who is the next gen age. Next gen age means that anyone is up to college age, finished just before graduation from college. So it's around about 23, 24 and below. Okay, that's the next gen in our church. But just a curious thing for me, how many of you here, up down here and up in the gallery, how many of you here came to know the Lord Jesus, okay, at the age of 20 and under? All right, how many of you 20 and under, you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Just raise your hand high up, all right? I just want to have an idea, okay? You see many, many hands. Just look around. How many hands are up? All right, even upstairs in the gallery, a lot of hands goes up. In other words, we have come to know the Lord 20 years old and under. Now, I was introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 15, Form 3. And someone told me, hey, come to church. My Christian friend said, come to church. There's good music. There's a youth fellowship. And there are pretty girls. Right? Trust me, I didn't go because of pretty girls. I know you don't trust me, but, you know. So I went to church, and I loved the music. I remember I picked up guitar for the first time. I loved the guitar. I loved singing. And I went there, and by the time I was 17, Form 5, I was baptized, and that's when I became a Christian. Now, do you know that in a survey that was made, at least in the U.S., and I don't think it's that far away here as well, 83% of all Christians made their commitment between the ages of 4 to 14. Right? 83%. of Christians, 4 to 14, all right? Meaning that, you know, sharing of Christ at a young age to the young people is a very important part of the life of the church. Yeah? These are the people that will come to know the Lord Jesus at a very young age. Now, let's look at this passage of scripture here in Acts 16, verse 1 to 2, where it says that Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy. So I want you to note this person called Timothy, all right? And the name Timothy actually means one who honors God. That's a great name to have. Your name is Timothy, great name, right? One who honors God. And so he says there, a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Now, that's a very interesting phrase. The believers there spoke well of Timothy. Now, how old was Timothy then? Okay. Now, tradition told us that Timothy at that time in Acts chapter 16 was around 16 years old. So he's in the next-gen group. And it's very interesting to see that the believers at Lystra and Iconium, meaning the church, all right, at that time, spoke well of Timothy. Right? So it's an amazing fact that here's a 16-year-old, and the church at that time spoke very well of him and highly regarded him. So what happened is that from Acts 16 onwards, if you know the story in the book of Acts, Apostle Paul mentored and discipled Timothy. In fact, took him around in his missionary journey and basically doing what Jesus did with his disciples. Come, be with me, all right, as I travel. And so Timothy, same thing, Paul said, come, be with me. And he traveled around with this 16-year-old. And by the time Apostle Paul wrote the letter of 1 Timothy, which we have read just now, okay, it's 14 years down the road. So from 16 years old, Apostle Paul discipled Timothy. And 14 years later, he wrote this letter to Timothy to encourage him. And so I think that's a great example of discipleship. Now, I want to tell you something about Timothy. Now, Timothy is a rather introverted person. And he's a very timid person as well. Now, how do I know that? There are hints in the scripture that tells me that Timothy is a very, very introverted person. And so here, one verse. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10 to 11, it says that Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, all right, and say this, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear, right? Nothing to fear while he is with you. So why did Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and say, please make sure there's no fear in him? And I think it's because he's a very timid person. There's a lot of fear in him doing ministry. So help him. Help him there, right? So for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. So no one then should treat him with contempt. See, sometimes when we see a timid person who dare not do things, we don't highly regard this person. So Apostle Paul reminded the Corinthians to say, here's a young man who's coming, all right? And he probably have grown up maybe one or two more years down the road. And he said, when he comes to you, please, okay, help him not to fear. That means give him courage, in other words, encourage him, all right? And then another verse here tells us this, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. In 2 Timothy, when he wrote that letter, again, remember, he was by that time about 30 years old. He was still a very introverted, timid person. And Apostle Paul says to him, God, hey, Timothy, come on, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, all right? Don't be shy, all right? You know, rise up. But God has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And then in other passages of the scripture, Apostle Paul will say to Timothy, you know, command and teach these things. Don't be afraid, all right? You know, in some sense, you know, rise up on the authority that God has given to you. And so that is why I noticed that Timothy is a rather shy, introverted person. So how many of you here are like Timothy here? Shy, introverted, asked to do something, cannot. All right, how many of us are like that? Put up your hand. If you're not putting up your hand, it means you are a very bold person, all right? Later on in ministry time, you come up, I'm going to challenge you to do ministry, all right? So let me ask you this question again. How many of you are shy and introverted? My hands is up, by the way, you know? Because by nature, I am a very shy, you don't believe me, but it's true, and you ask my wife, right? I'm a very shy, introverted person. I would rather be alone than be with people. Oh, now you're wondering whether he's the right senior pastor or not, okay? Because I grew up to be a very shy person, very introverted. I would rather, you know, eat meals by myself and watch a movie by myself because I'm the kind of person, all right? But God has helped me to do what Apostle Paul says to Timothy, all right? God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a power, love, and self-control. So over the years, God tutored my heart in order to be able to stand in a crowd of hundreds here and preach the word of God without fear. And that came because God has trained me to be who I am today. But I tell you what, every Sunday afternoon when I go back home, I need to just crash out because that's not me, all right? But, you know, I want to obey the Lord to the call that God has given to me. So if you put up your hand just now, you're in good company, by the way. You're in good company, all right? In fact, survey tells us that 80% of Malaysians are actually timid and introverted. So you are in good company. So never say, I cannot. Because if you say, I cannot, you will join this tribe called the Canaanites. And that's not a good tribe to join. Okay? And so it's so important for us to recognize that when we can't, God can. So, you know, here we are talking about the next gen. There's so many, especially on Saturday evening celebration. All right, I think a third of our congregation was actually the next gen. And here we are talking about, as a church, how do we disciple the next gen? You see, God wants to develop our young people. God developed me from 17 years onwards. In fact, 15 years onwards when I was introduced to Jesus. He developed me over the years. I thank God for the people who have come into my life and helped me grow in my Christian life. And so, because God has a great plan for all our lives. Amen? Even right now, whatever age that we are in, God still has a great plan for our life, but I'm so excited for young people. Why? Because their runway is longer, right? So when your runway is longer, God has have a great runway to help you and to grow you. So I always remind next gen, do not waste your young life away, because that could be the most powerful thing God can do for you. And I thank God, God did that for me as well. And so as a father, for example, I have three sons. They are young. They're still young, okay? And one of my greatest desires is this, that my three sons will do better than I. How many parents here wish that your children would do better than you? All right? I do. How many would be jealous if your children do better than you? Right? How can you do better than me? I'm your father, you know? Doesn't sound right, okay? Doesn't sound right at all, right? Every parent want their children to do better than them, right? And that is why we need to have that spirit of encouraging young people to do better than us. Do you believe the next generation in DUMC here would do better than us? I believe so, because of the great opportunity that they have, right? I give you an example. Those of us, when we are older here, okay, where is the source of our knowledge when we were young? Okay? When we were young, we take pride in this thing called, all right, Encyclopedia Britannica. How many of you have this set in your home? All right? Still have this set? You probably are keeping it, all right? And during those times, all right, this is it, man. This is the knowledge. All right? Anything that you want to find out, okay, you go to that the rack of books that you have and you find out. All right, knowledge. And there's updates, all right? Every year there's an update to this encyclopedia. And today, of course, our kids don't even know what this is, all right? And where do they go for knowledge? Where do they go, all right? Google, all right? It's amazing the amount of knowledge Google has. So the problem is not in the answers. The answers are out there. What's the problem? It's the question. What question do you have? So wisdom comes in knowing the right question. If I want to train a young person, I will train them how to ask questions. When they give me a problem, I will say, what is the question you need to ask? And when you know how to ask that question, you enter into that little frame there, and out come the answer. But by the way, don't believe every answer Dr. Google gave you. You still need to be wise in discerning the answers then. So in other words, there's no reason with the opportunities that we have today, young people cannot do better than us. They can do so much better. But what's the challenge? The challenge is that with our gifted young people, with talented young people, I remember meeting a 20-year-old quite about 10 years ago. He came up to me and asked him, what's your ambition in life? He looked at me confidently, eyeball to eyeball, a 20-year-old. He said, I want to be a millionaire by 30 years old. I said, why? So that I can retire. What? And I began to probe. I probe into him and say, why do you want to be a millionaire by 30? And he gave me his answers. I asked him the right questions, you know, to just help him process that. And I begin to realize that one of the things that we must help our young people to do is this, all right? Let me give you a big idea. This is something so much, very much in my heart. And this is the big idea, to tell young people, don't go places where your talents or gifting take you, but your character cannot sustain you. All right, let me read that again, all right? Don't go places where your talents or gifting take you. Our young people with a gifting, I tell you, it will take them places. I have now 30-year-old, 35-year-old running companies in DUMC. They have a staff strength of 30 people, 40 people, all right? And they are young CEOs, young entrepreneurs. They can be very successful. And my advice to them is simply this: don't go places where your talents or gifting takes you, but your character cannot sustain you. And we've seen that over and over again in so many celebrities. So many people who have arrived. And when they arrive, they crash out. Why? Because their character cannot sustain their success. I'm not saying that we should not be successful. In fact, we want to challenge our young people to be successful. But when you arrive, make sure your character can sustain you. So how do we then help young people? Or if you're a young person right now in the next gener, how do you become a fully devoted next gener who will have the strength of character, all right, to be with you when you arrived? Right? And so there are three simple points I want to make. It's simply this, all right? I can't. Everybody say, I can't. I can. And I must. So what's the 3 points? I can't. I can. And I must. All right? In a simple way, I have sort of grouped it for you in a tagline. In fact, it applies for any age group. What is our desire in life? Is to love God. What's the second thing? To serve people. And make disciples towards Christ-likeness. We desire to develop or disciple every person to be more and more Christ-like. And with the 5 core habits, I pray that there are many more we can put in, but the 5 core habits, I sense that the Lord says to me that if your members can exhibit these 5 core habits, this will be a really powerful church. That is honor. There's honor for one another. There's humility, right? Because humility will lead to honor. And then there is a whole area of being real with our life. Let's not put on a mask and pretend that we are okay, all right? Because when we don't acknowledge the issues in our life, we'll never grow. So be real. And then pass on everything you know, because we must always work ourselves out of a job so that the younger people can take over, all right? Don't exceed your welcome, I call it, all right? Always pass it on. And fifthly, as you do it, have fun while doing this. Because being in a Christian church, I pray that it will be the most fun thing you've ever done. Amen? And so, what do I mean by I can't? To the young people, if you're a young person, all right, this is what you need to know. I can't. I can't by myself. You will not be able to arrive with that kind of character by yourself. I need a spiritual father. Everyone needs a spiritual father, a spiritual mother, for that matter. I need a brother or sister in Christ to help me. And I thank God for the Christian family that we have. The person sitting next to you, by the way, is a Christian brother and sister. You may not like the person. I hope not. You may not even like the person, you know, secretly. I may not like. But he is still your brother or sister. All right? Look at the person left and right to you and say, you're my brother or my sister. No? Okay? That's the truth of Scripture. All right? And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, to Timothy, my dear son. This is Apostle Paul saying to Timothy, my dear son. What an amazing phrase, isn't it? My dear son. And then in 1 Corinthians 4:17, my son whom I love. What an amazing relationship. That there is someone here, an older person in the church, who loves a younger person who is not his biological son, you know. But this is a son whom I love. What an amazing, amazing relationship in the Lord. So, Timothy needs a Paul. So, every next gener needs a Paul. Who is his or her Paul or Pauline? Okay? And then 2 Timothy 1:5 says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Now remember, you know, the mother of Timothy is actually a Jew, a believer, a Jew. And now we are told that he also have a grandmother called, you know, Lois. And so these two ladies, because the Greek father is not a believer, so these two ladies here, you know, help Timothy to grow up spiritually. In fact, they taught Timothy the scripture from young. So these are amazing, amazing women of God, the amazing mother, amazing grandfather. And sad to say, Timothy did not have a Christian father who will help him grow. And that is why in the Christian church, do you know that we need spiritual fathers? For many of our young people who may not have, you know, Christian parents, and we come alongside them and help them. So I can't by myself. I cannot by myself. I need the Christian family to help me grow. Do not think for once that you can actually help yourself to grow. You need the family of God. All right. And so in that sense, we are born spiritually into this family. It's a really an amazing family. But I tell you what, a lot of young people don't understand this. All right. Or not just young, I think the older ones sometimes don't understand this as well. They come to church, right, thinking that church is only about this Sunday celebration. That's what church is to them. Okay? Right? And if you remember last year, we preached a series called I Love My Church. And that series reminded all of us that the church is not a meeting place. The church is the people. So when you come to church, you're actually coming to the people of God where you need to relate to them in a meaningful way. And so we have a spiritual family that we come to connect with. That's what coming to church is all about. This is not the ideal way of doing church, you know, with the pastor standing here, right here, and speaking to people sitting in rows. Right? And this is not the ideal church. The ideal church from the Old Testament, for the New Testament, all right, is a church that sits in circle. All right, they begin to eat together. They begin to share with one another in a more intimate way. And that is why we encourage you to join a cell group. In a cell group, in a home, all right, you begin to sit in circles. You begin to relate to one another as a spiritual family. You have time to share with each other about your issues in life, your challenges in life. Now, how many of us here have that kind of environment to allow us to do that? And this is my fear for many of us, coming regularly to church on a Sunday like this, but not connected to the spiritual family. So I want to encourage you, if you're not in a cell group, it's time for you to join a cell group and know this spiritual family that you're in, especially young people. If they're not in a cell group where there are older uncles and aunties in that cell group, they miss out big time because they cannot grow by themselves. If you're a young person here right now, make sure you have a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. You know, young people today, you know, in social media, you know, they have 1,000 Facebook friends. All right. How many Facebook friends have you got? All right. I have also about 1,000, you know. Oh, all right. They're both, okay. Right. But even if you have 1,000 Facebook friends, is there one in there that you can call your real friend? One that you can call up and say, hey, I got this issue, you know. And that friend will not laugh at you. In fact, he will sit down with you, have coffee with you, and begin to listen to you and begin to help you. So in that sense, we live in the generation of young people, by the way, you know, in the problem of an absentee parenting, I call it, especially an absentee father, all right? They grow up to be what I call a discipleless generation. And they have never have a high view of older people in their lives. And therefore, they go around just making friends with their peers, not recognizing the value of older people like us, all right? And so my advice to young people, and I told a lot of young people yesterday at Boys Brigade, 100 over of them were seated there, I said, don't despise older things, okay? For example, many of us here who are older, okay? You remember this mobile phone that we all have, okay? You remember this mobile phone? All right? And I still remember when I was young, I saw some people carrying that around, you know. All right? It's not, of course, that today you can put it in your pocket, right? You can't put it in your pocket, you know, because this one is as heavy as 10 kilograms, you know. You know what's 10 kilograms? 10 kilograms is a big bag of rice. That's 10 kilograms, you know. So can you imagine? So they can't carry that around with them, okay? So what do? They leave it in their car. And then they run off to the coffee shop to have their coffee. And then when the call comes, you know what happened? The car will have the horn. Bah, bah, bah. Wow, that is a sign of you have arrived. Because your car just makes a sound. Bah, and he said, excuse me, I need to take my car. So he goes to the car and take his car, all right? So when you are in that kind of state, you have arrived, you know? Right? And then we progress on, right? We progress on, you know, and then we have this phone here, with brick, I call it, okay? Right? You know, you hold it in your hand, it's big, cannot put in your pocket, all right? Okay? And then you progress on, I actually own this one, communicator, all right? And so I remember going around, just flip the phone open, all right? It's called a brick, by the way, you know? A brick meaning that you can whack somebody on the head with it. Right? It's that big, okay? If you put it in your pocket, it's one big pouch here, so you can't do that, okay? But of course, today we have this, right? This is a million times better than the very first one. But do you know how we arrived here? We arrived here because of the big one. So don't laugh at the big one, you know? All right? We arrived here because of the big one. So I reminded young people, okay, that, you know, one generation is built on the other. We must always appreciate the generation before us. Don't say they're old-fashioned, right? It's because of what they did before that allows us to be where we are today, and we need to appreciate that. And there's a message, you know, next generation, you need to know, appreciate those who have already walked the journey. And I remember Isaac Newton says this, right? He says that if I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. And Isaac Newton don't go around saying that I discovered this by myself. He doesn't. He recognized the giants before him, who have helped him to arrive where he is today. Even people unknown to, you know, the society. And so in that sense, you know, even the Bible says, you know, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. So this is a simple message to young people today. In fact, we need to mentor young people to not despise the old. Appreciate them, okay? And but what about the older people? Those of us are older now. We ask them to appreciate us. So what must we as older people do to them? Right? One of the things I said some months or years ago, 2-3 years ago, I remember saying this, people, especially us older ones, do not give them, the young people, the look. Remember that? Don't give them the look. When they do something out of our comfort zone, we give them the look, you know. All right, do you know you are giving the look sometimes? So I was trying to figure out how to tell you what is the look, you know. I don't know how to tell you what is the look. So I went to Google, Dr. Google. I searched for the look, you know. I searched. Finally, I found the look. I found the look that we must all, as older people, avoid. So you want to know what the look looks like? All right, this is the look. And I tested with my two sons, okay? I said, what do you think of this photo? So he described to me, this is the look, okay? Now, sometimes we don't realize this. Some young people comes up to us with this great idea. Say, I want to try this. Because you have eaten more salt, ma. You know this one will go around, this one will go around, this one will go around, right? You know. Because you've eaten salt. Because you yourself went through it, ma. You make the same mistake. And so when they come excited to tell you this whole idea, you give them the look. So when you give them the look, what happened to them? They want to run far, far away from you. And they miss out on the most important discipleship process in their life. An older person speaking into their life. And I have learned over the years to bite my tongue. All right, don't say anything. Let them say it. All right, I know I've got 10 great ideas in my mind. I can just tell them what to do, okay? But I would rather walk with them on this journey to help them process it through. I have 10 answers in there, but I would rather help them process it so that sometimes they should make the mistake. So that even through the mistake, they can learn. Okay? I don't want to jump in there and start saving them and give them the look and say, I've been there, I've eaten that, done it, all right? Gone there. And then pour cold water on them, all right? And I pray that you remember this photo. Don't give them the look, all right? And by the way, this is a Japanese man. All right. And so, in that sense, you know, if we drive our young people away, I'm reminded that if we don't disciple our young people, the world will disciple them. They will go to their peers and get all the advice, which we know often are not good advice. Why? Because they are peers. Right? But that's the place where they find comfort. That's the place where they find peace, right? Because no one is looking down on them. No one is scolding them. And when I saw this picture, I also reminded myself, right? And I repented, you know, in the early years when I was looking, even to my own children, I gave them the look. And I've learned not to do that. Thank God, early in my fathering years. So we have sons and daughters in our house. So let's be spiritual father and mother to them. You know, there's no competition between the older one and the younger one. There's collaboration, you know. And I was, you know, you remember, we have often said this, that in church even, right? You know, when the young people comes up with something, even they come up with faster song, louder music, you know, as older people, what do? Please don't give them the look, all right? Learn to appreciate the louder music. It's okay, because if we don't have that, they will go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? They will go to the world. And I'm not saying they are entirely right, but all I'm saying is that, you know, how do we not give them the look, but encourage them in their walk? And then on the flip side, I would tell the younger people, honor the older ones. Bring the music down a little bit, because they are here in our midst. And so there's collaboration between the various generations, and I believe it will build a great church for us. Because there's honor, because there is humility, sin in the body of Jesus Christ. All right, so I can't by myself, and I can with Christ. All right, and so what do I mean by that? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 14, we read earlier, why don't we read it aloud together, this particular passage here? Ready? 1, 2, go. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Is it Timothy from a young age? Know Jesus. And not only does he know Jesus, there's empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon his life. And so Apostle Paul here encouraged him that you need to grow in your life with God. And here, Apostle Paul highlights 5 conducts, you know, for the young person. And this is what he said, all right? You must, you know, set an example for believers in what I call in speech, in what we say. So we need to model and mentor young people or disciple young people, you know, to speak well, all right? Remember, I said that Timothy was well regarded by the church during his time, and I believe these are the things that he exhibited. His speech was good, all right? In fact, the Bible says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And those of us older ones recognize this, right? Sometimes a word has been said to us, the word useless, for example, when we were young. Somebody told us that we were useless. Do you know that word remained with us for the rest of our life? Because I have ministered to older people, and that word resonated in their mind every time when they wanted to do something. The word useless comes up. And that has crippled them for life. And so words are so important. If ever there's one thing that we must teach our young people, we must watch our speech. Our speech must be gracious. And how do we help young people to learn how to have great speech? By modeling it to them. We watch our own speech, right? I call it monkey see, monkey do, right? So if our speech, the way we talk, the way we regard people, all right, you know, are not honoring, they will catch on big time. How husband talk to wife, or mom talk to dad, or dad talk to mother, they all pick it up. And I believe that, you know, Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother, have set such a great example for Timothy. And I believe maybe the father too, although there are no written documents to suggest that, but at 16 years old, all right, he was well regarded, meaning that he was well brought up. And then in conduct, all right, what we do, and then in love, how we feel, in faith, what we aspire, and in purity, how we relate. In conduct, for example, do we walk the talk? Do we model to our young people that we actually walk the talk? That's one of the biggest issues for young people. They come to church and they see an older person and they say, no, that's not what I want. That's the greatest discouragement to young people. And eventually they'll move away from the church because they use this big word called hypocrites. And I've seen that a few times among young people. And that is why as older people, we need to be very careful that we are modeling all the time to younger people in our conduct. And then in love, for example, how do we love one another? Even people we don't like, we can still love, by the way. Liking and loving are two different things, you know. I may not necessarily like you. Do you like everybody? How many of you like everybody? We don't, right? I don't think any hands will be up. There are people we don't like, right? And it's not unspiritual to don't like a certain people, you know. Because that's why God created all kinds of people. In fact, as much as you don't like people, there are a lot of people who don't like you too. Right? That's a fact. I don't claim that everybody likes me, but I tell you what, the church must love. Love is a choice. I don't like you, but I will love you. And how do I love you? I pray for you. I encourage you. I don't like you, but I still encourage you. I don't need to like you, but I will pray for you. I will encourage you. I will say, cheer you on. And I pray that we will learn to do that. That's how we, and young people will catch that when they see us doing that, of encouraging one another, even when I don't like you or when I disagree with your decision, but I will agree to disagree lovingly. You see the difference here? And when young people see that, they will grow in love. Okay? And then faith. We teach them, we model to them what it means to walk by faith. And, when our children were growing up, how many of you are parents here? Your children worry what's for dinner or where dinner will come or not. Any of your children worry about that? I hope not, Even when we have not much, right, we'll make sure that our children have enough to eat, right? That's the heart of a parent. And the children don't worry. When we go on holiday trips, I never had once, my children asking me, Dad, will we ever arrive at that destination? All right? Because the children will know that Dad and Mom will take them to the destination, irrespective of what happened, all right? Because they have learned to have faith in their mom and dad. And therefore, in the same way we model to our children, we have faith in God. All right, know this God that I believe in. And DUMC, I'm so glad that, in more than 10 years ago, we modeled this to the entire church. Remember this Dream Center here? It's an amazing place to be in case you do not know the history. When we bought this place, okay, we only have $1 million in our bank account for building fund, just $1 million. And we bought this place, and we told the whole church, let's walk by faith. All right? And within a few years, we paid off all $40 million. All right? And we have a story to tell the next generation, that our forefathers walked in faith. And if God is faithful, He can be to us, He can be faithful to you. And we all must have faith stories. If we don't have faith stories, we got no story to tell our children or our grandchildren. And so in purity, for example, how do we model purity? By staying pure ourselves. When we are real with our lives and things that we struggle with in our temptation, and say, yes, I fail in some of this area, but I've overcome it, and I have learned, how to live in the life of purity. And we set ourselves an example in our courtship, we set an example in our marriage, and young people will catch on to that. Sometimes, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon, for example, on the whole area of modesty, for example. Have you ever heard a sermon on that? On modesty? Right? I'm very tempted, actually, to have at least one sermon to talk on modesty. Now, modesty is not about fashion, all right? Modesty has to do with the way, we dress where it's appropriate to the occasion, all right? Where it's honoring to God and honoring to people around us. Right? But because we don't model that to young people, all right, the world disciple them. So the world will tell them what to wear. When we don't tell them what to wear and encourage them, then you see a whole different generation now wearing in such a way, you give them the look. You see what I'm saying here? All right? And so how then do we model that to them? You know, there are two ladies in our church, they're young adults, and they came to know the Lord in the last 2-3 years. And 2-3 years later, they were in this encounter weekend for membership, and two of them were in the room. They were just talking to each other. They were new believers. They were talking to each other, and they were so excited. And this was a conversation shared with me. He said, you know, the other sister, we were sharing with one another. They were saying, we were actually very shocked, you know. Last time, how can we even wear this kind of dresses? They were shocked, right? And then this other sister said, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know how in the world we wore those kind of dresses, okay? And then what's the difference now? I don't know. Something changed, right? And so I believe that it's because they're in the family of God. There are people who come alongside them and begin to model to them, begin to help them. And I believe some of the older ladies have come alongside them and modeled it to them. And over time, do you know there's a shift even in their mindset? It's quite amazing, right? And I see that over and over again. So don't give them the look. Disciple them, right? Help them. Right? Maybe I need to preach one sermon on that so that we all start doing that, right? So that we wear appropriately and modestly. Because, by the way, that's a command of Scripture, no? To be modest in our dressing. And so more is caught than taught. I hope we all recognize this by now. I was telling the Boys Brigade officers that were here, the captains, the officers, and I said, do you know why Boys Brigade is so successful? See, I met so many Boys Brigade officers. These are adults now. They became officers, and still are officers in the Boys Brigade, because when they were young, they had such a powerful experience in the Boys Brigade. And I told them the reason why Boys Brigade is so powerful is because the older men had come alongside a younger person, and model life to them, live life on life with them, right? And they grew up recognizing that. So when they become adults, they continue on in being a Boys Brigade officer. And that's powerful spiritual fathering, I call it. That is why it's so successful with young people. And so in the same way, you know, we as older people here, some of us need to lead younger people. So I took it upon myself to lead a young adult group. Why? Because I know I have some spiritual fathering value to be given to young people. And so my group now, you know, 3-4 years ago when I started this, you know, it has grown from 1 cell group now to now 4 cell groups. In 4 years. Why? Because there's value in spiritual fathering. So every time the group multiplies, I make sure there's an older person in that group, so that this group keep having older people in their cell groups. Why? Because there is value in spiritual fathering. Our young people needs that. So more is caught than taught. So learn to have conversation with our young people. You know, some of us already do not know how to talk to young people, you know, right? Because we're so impatient with them. You know, when we were parents, especially those parents understand this, your boy or your girl or your boy comes back and say, Mom or Dad, I like this girl in the class. What's your reaction? What's your reaction? Be honest here. I like this girl in my class. Some of your reactions like this, I'll show you the next picture. This is your reaction, you know. All right. Now, you may not know this. If I ever take a photo of it, right, that's how you look. You say, what? All right? And you say, no, you can't. You see, I have learned years ago, thank God, I think somebody must have told me this, but, you know, I've learned years ago, when the kids were very young, the moment your son comes to you and say they like a girl, all right, watch how you respond. So now, whenever my boys come out and say, I like this girl, I say, good. You know, it's very important that my boy likes a girl. You understand what I'm saying, right? You understand, right? My boy here likes a girl. I rejoice. I would look at my son eyeball to eyeball. Great, son. I'm glad you like this girl. Because it's human to like someone, all right? Son, it's not love yet, nah? You just like only, okay? Let me explain to you love. And I will have a conversation with him to help him manage his emotion. Because if I were to give him this look, all right, he will never, ever talk to me about the girls that he's going to like. And over the years, my 3 sons have shared with me, you know, the girls they like. And I don't give them this look. I said, sit down, let's talk about this. All right, let's manage this. Of course, there were breakups in between as well. And they will come to me and they will pour their hearts out to me. And as a father, not their peers, huh? As a father, you know, I will help them through this period of their life. And even when they come to this woman they want to marry, and they will say, my eldest son will come to me and say, Dad, what do you think? You know, how should I propose, huh? Okay, how do I meet the parents, huh? And he would say, and we would talk this through, because I have not given them this look when they were young, right? So, people, us older ones, please don't give them the look, because our look has turned away so many young people that they run far, far away from us. And so it's so important to do that. So many topics we can talk about with our young people, about relationship, their first boyfriend, their girlfriend, family issues, of puberty, about sex, right? We need to talk to them about that. And about gender confusion, there are young people now suffering from that, all right? And a boy comes to you and says, I like another boy. Don't give them this look. Process it with them, all right? And help them through that, all right? And issues of smoking, of drinking, of pornography, of their college, what study they would, what course they would need to go into, about money, of young people. You know, I have a young man who came to me and say, I'm old banks, okay? And I say, show me all your credit card. He laid out 7 credit cards in front of me, all right? I didn't give him this look. I helped him through that and say, now you need to pay back. So let me help you through that. And so I can go on and on. I can go on and on about, you know, the things that we can help them grow in Christ. So I can't with by myself. A young person needs an older person, just as I would also need an older person, right? And I can, all right, with Christ. And finally, you know, I must, for the sake of the gospel, I must. Because the stake is very, very big, very large. All right. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15 to 16 says, be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I want you to watch the last phrase there. Save both yourself and your hearers. He said, Timothy, whatever you do, you're on a mission to lead people to Jesus. And when you lead people to Jesus, it's about their eternal salvation. Do you know God wants every young people to succeed, not in what they do, but to be successful in leading people to Jesus. Everything you do must be for the sake of the gospel, not for the sake of wealth, not for the sake of recognition. We must disciple our young people to say, at the end of the day, when you are rich, when you are famous, you must always lead people to Jesus. Amen? That's always the end game, I call it. And with that, you know, that's why the devil do the flip side. The devil will lead every young people to damnation, I call it. Right? They lead every young people astray so that they will not do things for the sake of the gospel. That is why young people are so confused today. If the devil can confuse them even right here at their young age, he's got them already. He's got them, all right? And you hear stories like that, even from Pastor Sam about DRC. You know, that's the kind of story we hear. Get them young so that when you hook them in drugs, all right, they will be, you know, slave to that for the rest of their life. And thank God for the ministry that DRC does, you know, in just taking people out from that. It's amazing. It's a hard battle. It's not an easy battle, but a hard battle. So young people today needs people to cheer them on. To really cheer them on. Why? Because the stake is huge down the road. Because these are the young people who are instrumental to be used by God to lead hundreds, if not thousands, because they will do far better than us. Amen? And that is why our focus must always, you know, be on the young ones. As parents, you think about young ones. As a church, we need to think about the young ones. Not that older people are less important. Please do not ever get this wrong. That older people are not important. Right? Older people are important because you are the discipler for the younger one. And so 2 Timothy 1:6, all right, it says there, for this reason I remind you. You see that? As a spiritual father, he comes alongside Timothy, I'm reminding you. We need to remind our young people to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. There are a lot of young people who are gifted, and we need to remind them over and over and over again. And if you forget everything I say, all right, this morning, remember the photo? All right? Remember the photo? This photo? All right? And remind yourself never to look down on somebody who's young and be that best cheerleader. Don't give them the look. And the big idea, one last time, is this. To help our young people, let them know. Don't go places where your talents or gifting takes you, but your character cannot sustain you. Amen? And so that's our role as older people. We need to help them to build character. Can I have the musicians, please? You know, 10, 20, or 30 years from now, now I pray that one of the things that we can look back to, you know, at that time in the future, when you look back, is to see many of our young people doing far greater than us, amen? To see our children go further than us in the things that we do. You know, my prayer for our nation right now, I'm constantly right now asking the Lord, what is our part in all this? And as I look at the schools, you know, one of the problems right now, in DUMC, let me share with you, in DUMC, our youth ministry, okay? You know, very interestingly, very few, handful of our youth goes to national school. So we are losing out on the outreach to national schools, you know? Because all these kids now are either in international school, private school, all right, or in home learning center. So they are away from the national system. And that is why integration, all right, among the different ethnic groups, is such an issue right now. So my prayer at this point is this, that God, will you sort out this education system for our nation so that people now, our young people, can all start flowing back to our national schools. I don't know when that will happen, but I pray it will happen in my lifetime. All right, so that we begin to see an integration, you know, of just building young people, all right, irrespective of the ethnic background, to bring value to them in helping them grow so that they will stand for truth, justice, and righteousness. Enough of this polarization in our nation. We need to pray that God will give wisdom to our nation's leader, that they will be able to bring back, you know, truth, justice, and righteousness to us. So that I was telling the Boys Brigade, you know, because we do not have our young people in the national schools, one of the best ways to reach out to national schools is through Boys Brigade, because they are recognized as an extracurricular activity in school. So let's do that. And in my you know, conversation with the captains, you know, they are so gung-ho. They say, Pastor, let's reach out to 20 schools around this area. Wow, I say, I love your faith. I love your faith, okay? And we want to do it together, all right, to reach out to young people, because many of them would come to know Jesus at that age. And when they come to know Jesus at that age, it's amazing what God will do, just as I came to know the Lord at that age in secondary school. And then God has used me until today, and many more can do far greater things than we can. Amen? So, church, we need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord for the next generation. You know, to say that, Lord, I don't know what I can do yet, but at least as a parent, let me start. That's one. All right? Then as I look at the young people around us, what can I do, God, in order to encourage us? So why don't we bow our heads right now and just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me, Lord? What are you saying to me? Thank you, Lord. What is God saying to you about the whole area of obedience? Has He said something in this message here about a point of obedience that you need to obey the Lord in? If you are next gener, you're a young person here under 25, what is the Lord saying to you in your growth? If you're an older person, what is God saying to you? Not to give the person the look, but rather encourage them in their faith in you. Thank you, Lord. And so as our heads are bowed, and there may be some of us here who are not Christians here, but you are not here by chance, but God has brought you here just in case there's someone here who do not know Jesus, or you have already backslided away from God. And I always give this chance to anyone here who wants to say, Pastor, what you say makes sense. I think I need this God in my life. Maybe you have heard this message before about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you say in your heart right now, you know, Pastor, I think I'm ready. Because some of you may have been coming to church for a while now, but maybe this is a time for you to commit your life to Jesus. Or maybe you're backslided away from God. You need to come back to Jesus. At the count of three, if that's you put up your hand, I see your hand, I'm going to pray for you. Right? At the count of three, even those at home watching this on live stream, you know, if there's, the Lord has touched your heart about returning back to God or committing your life to God, you can do that where you are right now. So at the count of three, you lift your hand. If that's you, starting from the ground floor here. At the count of three, one, two, and three. Is there anyone who would like to do that? Is there anyone down on the ground floor here? Thank you. I see their hand. Thank you very much. Any other hands? Down here? Any other hands? Oh, but upstairs, any hands? That you say you want, you know, this God in your life, this Jesus in your life, or you want to just return back to God, all right? You know, I may not be able to see your hand, but if that's the desires of your heart, you may not even put up your hand. You can pray this simple prayer. And this prayer is basically in three parts. And you say sorry, you say thank you, and you say please. You say sorry to God for what, you know, the things that you've done wrong in your life, because sometimes we live with so much guilt in us. And you say, there's no hope in me. But God can give you hope. So you say sorry to God. And you thank you, Jesus, for what He has done on the cross for you. And then finally, you say, please come into my life. The simple prayer, if that expresses the desire of your heart, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. All right, so you pray aloud together with me. Church, can you pray aloud together with those that have put up their hand or may not have put up your hand, but you, that's the desires of your heart. You pray right now with me. Church, pray aloud together. All right. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I live with a guilt in my heart, and I want to confess it to you. And thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Because through the cross, through your death, my sins are forgiven. And for that, I thank you. And I accept your forgiveness. And today, I invite you into my life and make me a new person and make me a child of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, if you have prayed that prayer in your heart, God hears your prayer. And God will come into your life and make you a new person, right? So if you have put up your hand, or not put up your hand, but you said that prayer, we want to pray with you and give you something to help you in your Christian growth, right? So later on, when people come up for prayer here, you know, if your brother, a friend that brought you, you know, can you walk up to the front with me? I want to give you a package to help you in your growth, because it's something that you can read for yourself and we can pray with you. But for the rest of us, you know, if there's an area of our life that needs, that we want a prayer for, this is a time that we want to be family with you. This is a family of God here. We want to pray with you, whatever issues. It could be a relationship issue. As I talk about next gener, you're concerned for your next gener, son or daughter, all right? You're so worried. You know, come up for prayer to ask the Lord to help you in this area. Some of our concerns for our sons and daughters, they are really astray. All right, and you may need to come up here and say, will you pray with me for my children? Some of us are parents. We need wisdom, all right? We need healing in our lives, whatever that you need. You know, the Lord is here. Amen. We are a spiritual family. We can pray for one another. Let's stand and sing this song. And don't wait for each other. Just come right to the front. And then I'm going to close in a short while. Thank you, Lord.